It's right at 11 o'clock. We'll start with roll call.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
Here.
Indian Wells? Indio? La Quinta? Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
County of Riverside?
Here.
Agua Caliente?
Here.
You have a quorum.
All right, let's roll on to, it's just Eric.
That's him. Oh, yeah. He's on Indio Planning Commission. Can you turn on that? Just press that.
Oh, you mean it?
Yeah.
All right, we're on to item three, public comments. This is the time and place for any person wishing to address the subcommittee on items not on the agenda. Anybody in the audience to do so? Item four, any subcommittee member or director comments? Anything from the table?
I have a comment or announcement.
Announcement.
I'm leaving CVAG at the end of this month.
Oh.
So I just wanted to let you all know. And we're moving out of the area, so it was very nice to work with this committee, and I hope you get a lot of things done. Ryan will lead you.
Who's going to tell me what to do?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who will.
Yes.
You going to do it?
She don't want me to tell you what to do.
Well, congratulations to you and your family.
Thank you.
Item five, consent calendar. Looks like we have minutes from three meetings.
Yes.
Do we have any discussion or action items?
Apparently, I'll be abstaining from the November minutes since I wasn't there.
Okay.
I'll be abstaining from all of them.
From all of them?
Okay.
Okay. Do we have enough to even take an action on those?
Yeah, you can take an action. You have people here. They just abstain.
Okay. All right, do we have a motion with some abstentions noted?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye by aye.
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 All right. Passes.
All right, for item six, action/discussion items, I'm going to move item B up briefly so Ben can get back to more important things. Mr. Druyan.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to provide you with the update on our green efforts here at CVAG. As many of you may know, CVAG has an ongoing partnership with Southern California Edison and SoCal Gas in each of your cities. It's called the Desert Cities Energy Partnership, or DCEP. The partnership focuses on energy efficiency upgrades and programs that reduce energy consumption of municipal buildings, thus providing an incentive of lower power rates. These programs and offerings are provided to each city at no cost. We also have included the tribe, just letting you know.
Thank you.
Not neglecting. they're provided at no cost, and the city can contact the utilities to schedule a free audit of city-owned building and receive a report showing a list of measures and potential change-outs, potential measures that will help reduce energy. Oftentimes, the building can qualify for free LED lighting changeouts and HVAC tune-ups as well. The DCEP group meets on a regular basis to discuss new program offerings and strategies to include participation. Unfortunately, due to new requirements with the CPUC, the California Public Utilities Commission, the Desert Cities Energy Partnership will be changing after this year. SCE will be seeking a third-party vendor to take over much of the partnership role, and we are unsure how much involvement CVAG will have with the new vendor or what programs will be offered. SoCal Gas has mentioned to us that they would like very much to continue the partnership with CVAG and the member cities, so we're going to keep that going. Due to the uncertainty of the partnership, CVAG has researched other ways to continue bringing energy efficiency benefits to the cities and the community. One avenue which CVAG is pursuing is a partnership with WRCOG and SBCOG to form a pilot program called a Regional Energy Network, or a REN. A REN works alongside the utilities to create and implement programs that the utilities cannot do or do not want to do. It might be too expensive for them to do. A REN essentially fills the gaps of the existing utility programs. Currently, through our collective efforts, we have selected a consultant to lead us through the process of creating our own two-county REN, and are in the process of creating a business plan to submit to the CPUC. If the CPUC approves our business plan, then our next step will be to implement the REN, and the process should take between a year and a year and a half. Another way CVAG is working to better the community and environment is by creating a CCA, a Community Choice Aggregation Program. A CCA takes over the job of the incumbent utility to buy and sell power for its customers. They often offer rate savings, environmental or renewable options, and they also provide more local control. CVAG has facilitated a joint powers agreement with the cities of Palm Desert, Palm Springs, and Cathedral City to form Desert Community Energy, DCE. DCE is preparing to launch in late 2020 or early 2021 and will offer a 100% carbon-free option to all of its ratepayers. Palm Springs will launch first, with Palm Desert and Cathedral City to follow. The city of Palm Springs has opted to launch their entire city at the 100% carbon-free option as the default. And by taking that one action by the city, they'll have an enormous impact on reducing the city's carbon footprint. And we're really proud of them for that. CVAG also looks for ways to improve recycling and reduce solid waste. CVAG has a solid waste and recycling group, which we call TWIG, which meets once or twice a year, depending on what recycling topics are hot. We're preparing for our next meeting in a couple of months, so if there's any topics which you think your city would like us to look into, please email them to me. I'm going to leave some cards here for any of you. If you have questions or want more information about any of these programs I'm talking about, take my card and email me, please. CVAG also applies for used oil and recycling grants and waste tire grants. Currently, the used oil program is up and running and in full force, with events held throughout the year covering the entire Coachella Valley. The used oil program events are usually held at auto parts stores, and they give out free oil pans, rags, and filters for participants that bring in old filters and oil. CVAG also applies for a used tire grant, which I have just found out today that we were approved for $50,000 for the 2019-2020 cycle. So we're glad about that. And the events will start taking place in strategic locations throughout the Coachella Valley throughout the year, starting in probably September. And it's also a no cost to any resident who wants to bring in their tires so they can be recycled properly. And it encourages people to get tires off of their property or out of the road even. We've had a lot of success in the past where customers will just spend all day driving along the road, picking up tires and bringing them to us. It's really cool. Anyway, for both of these recycling programs, CVAG advertises using flyers posted on postings on CVAG and city websites, social media, and radio. Also in October, we're planning on doing a tour. CVAG occasionally will put on a tour for anybody who's interested. This current tour will be to take a shuttle bus to Paris, California, not Paris, France, to the CRNR Environmental Services Facility. It's an anaerobic digestion facility. The facility is really high-tech, really modern, and super cool to go visit. It provides enough gas power for their entire fleet by diverting thousands of tons of waste from the landfills. It's really, really cool tour if you guys can make it. And I'll send more announcements out to that as we get closer. It's scheduled to be in October when it's kind of cool. The tour is totally free, and it's typically about a six-hour event because it takes about 2 hours to get there and 2 hours back. If there's any information that you guys want to require or want from me about any of this stuff, please contact me and pass on my business cards to your fellow employees or anybody, sustainability managers, sustainability team, if there's any interest in this at all. Finally, CVAG administers the Property Assessed Clean Energy programs. Those are PACE programs that you may have heard about. We have 9 current PACE providers in the valley, and To date, those 9 PACE providers combined have done over 4,000 projects, amounting to about $100 million worth of energy and water efficiency improvements just in the Coachella Valley. And it's still going. So that's my quick recap. I can answer any questions if you guys have any. And I'm leaving my business cards, as I said.
Any questions?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, sir. All right, moving back up to item number, item A, SCAG update video conference regarding arena cycle and methodology update.
Can't hear you. Is it on?
Yeah.
Looks like it's on.
We should be able to hear him.
No, we can't hear you.
Can you hear us?
I think they can.
Yeah, she, okay.
Sorry, trying to select it. It looks like there's a mute button.
Oh, on their side?
On red right there. I was trying to,
oh,
like we had muted
does
them.
It?
But I, doesn't do anything when I.
Hello?
No.
The plus minus, is that volume?
Yeah. Oh, great.
Gotta love technology.
Yeah, looks like
is it still mute there?
Yeah,
on their
looks
side?
Looks like it's mute on their end. I'm trying to select unmute. It doesn't seem to be doing anything.
No, we can't hear you.
Should we have him call back, maybe?
Oh, I thought it worked.
I'm going to just like mute all and then try and unmute all, see if it gives me an option. That doesn't do anything.
Okay.
And you go, they were about to tell us that the arena cycle's been canceled. We're all is it on
there? Yeah, it looks like it's
on
their
end.
Yeah, you're right.
It's green too, just like ours.
Yeah.
Like it's on, like the green light.
Yeah, you can see that on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. What did I? They hung up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like they
call
did.
Back.
I was like, I didn't mean to touch it.
What did you do?
Congratulations.
Riverside County's arena numbers are 30,303. San Bernardino County's is 39.
Oh, that's all?
Not 39,000.
39.
Okay. Wow.
Is that the current set?
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Really?
Exhibit our staff put together, comparing our arena numbers. We actually have more obligation for Riverside County than LA County.
That's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
It's okay, nobody lives
like the
east
path.
Of LA.
Yeah.
It's empty land. Yeah. Plenty of room.
That's the problem. They who have the.
Do we answer?
Yeah, answer.
Hi. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. So then.
Do I do the.
Well, you have to hang up.
Do I hang up and call back in?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hang up and call back in for my presentation.
Okay.
Call you. Yeah.
Okay, do I log in?
Presentation. Or it doesn't work.
Okay.
Imperial 6.
Can eat theirs as
what's
well.
San Diego?
22,000.
Do I need to mute?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We can hear you.
But now.
Maybe we should mute ours while she talks.
Should we mute ours?
Hold on.
You're echoing. Oh, tell them.
It looks funny.
Now
we can't hear anything.
I think
like we're in a different universe.
Okay,
we're fine. Okay. I get like your face.
You're echoing.
Should I mute ours? I wonder if it's coming through ours.
It's the computer. Hold on.
Okay.
There.
We're good? Okay. All right. Can everyone see the presentation on the screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for your patience and the technical difficulties. Thank you, Edward, our AV staff. We got a nice view of your face in the camera. All right, thank you for the opportunity to present on what we're thinking about for the proposed methodology distribution. So right now, our next RENA subcommittee is July 1st, and we're not presenting a final version of it, but rather what we're presenting is for public release for further comments. So what I'm presenting today isn't final in any way, so just something to keep in mind. So, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of the objectives of RENA, but one thing that I did, two of the objectives I did want to present to you are number 4 and 5. These are ensuring that there isn't an over-concentration of low-income groups, or just income groups across all levels throughout the counties, and then also it's a way to ensure that we're not just giving more of the same for RENA. And then the fifth one is affirmatively furthering fair housing, AFFH. That's new for this cycle, so many of you who worked on the last RENA cycle, there's only 4 categories. This new one is based on the HUD definition of trying to ensure that we're not perpetuating racial and income-based segregation, that we're trying to remove these barriers. In our formal talks with HCD so far, they haven't given any indication on it what exactly, how our methodology would achieve number 5 AFFH, but they have highlighted its importance to housing planning. So it is something we're trying to achieve, especially 4 and 5 as we meet the goals of RENA. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have actually attended any of our RENA subcommittee meetings in the past few months? Show of hands. Okay, so a lot of you are probably already familiar with the methodology, the next few slides. But I still wanted to go over it anyway in case you did have any further questions or any comments or input that you wanted to provide. So one of the main departures from the last RENA cycle, the methodology looked at projected household growth as determined from local inputs. There's a replacement need, there's a future vacancy need, which are both very small percentages of a RENA number, and then just for the fifth cycle, you've got a vacancy credit if you have a high vacancy, a high number of vacant units in your jurisdiction. So it's pretty straightforward, but that mostly focused on projected housing need. So the state has actually really been pushing existing housing need. It's always been in state housing law that RENA is both existing and projected need, but in prior cycles, it wasn't really emphasized. So we've seen from SANDAGS, San Diego Association of Governments, and also San Luis Obispo COG, SLOCOG, their regional determination given by HCD in the past couple of years, and existing need is a major part of the RENA allocation now for the region. That's a regional determination. So once we have a methodology adopted, we'll apply that to the regional number to get jurisdictions' individual draft RENA allocations. So existing need can be thought of things such as overcrowded households, cost burden households. We're not certain, since it's not final by HCD, they are required to give us a regional number that's done in consultation with SCAG and the COGS. SCAG will provide data sets, projections, and any other data and resources that we have. but it's not quite a negotiation since HCD will give that final determination. So the components in the determination, we have an idea of what they'll give us, but it won't be, it's not due until August. So they can try to give it beforehand, but we don't anticipate anything until most likely August. So the methodology we're developing concurrently, as HCD is consulting with us, is something that we're going to apply to the determination. So when you look at existing needs, there's probably going to be overcrowding. Cost burden may or may not be in there, since there can be an overlap within those two. And they might have, provide other things such as high vacancy rates as part of existing need. So the next few slides are going to go over then, when we get that determination, how are we going to separate out existing need and projected need for jurisdictions? So the first step, once we have existing need for the region, is we're looking at it from not just where overcrowding occurs or where cost burden occurs, but we're actually taking a departure from the last cycle. We're looking at this at a regional level. So we're proposing so far that 70% of existing need be allocated to jurisdictions based on their share of the regional population. 30% of that regional need would then be distributed based on the jurisdiction share of population within an HQTA. HQTAs are high quality transit areas, so those are areas with either a Metrolink rail service or bus, and the bus services need to be at 15 minute headways at peak hours, and so it's half a mile within these areas. A lot of jurisdictions don't have HQTAs, so if your jurisdiction does not have an HQTA, you would be receiving only the 70% portion of regional existing need. So that's how we determine the subtotal for a jurisdiction's existing need. So the next part is trying to divide it by income categories. So you have existing housing need. SCAD staff is proposing a 110% social equity adjustment to that number. For those who haven't been really, or just catching up to where we are on the RENA cycle, social equity adjustment, what that does in a nutshell is it shifts around fair share around the region. So if there's an over-concentration, if a jurisdiction is lower income in comparison to its county, its final percentage of each of that low income category, a social equity adjustment rate, it lowers the number. So it basically shifts low income need across the area, across the county. So a higher income jurisdiction will have to do more low income, and a low income jurisdiction does less low income. So that's essentially what it does. So the higher the percentage, so 100%, for instance, you just meet the county distribution. 110% goes a little bit above the county distribution. If there's something such as 150% or 175%, that gets more and more progressive. There's no technical reason why you would pick one percentage over the other. It's more of a policy discussion. So it's how much progression do you want to make over the course of a planning period, 8 years. So 110% is what was done for the fourth and fifth RENA cycles. So we're proposing for existing need that there be 110% social equity adjustment. So we apply that to a jurisdiction's existing housing need. And then rather than separate it into four income categories, we're proposing separating it into three income categories. So the total will still be the same, but above moderate income category is then parceled out to the three income categories. The reason for this is because SCAG's argument that cost burdenness, this is actually a new requirement that we're supposed to look at with HCD and the regional determination. We're having difficulty, we had a panel of experts, a lot of input on this, but cost burdenness, those paying 30% or more of their income on housing, it's difficult to separate that from something like overcrowding because they overlap. You'll have two data sets, one for each of them, but a lot of households, it's difficult to determine to combine those, to figure out which households are overcrowded and not cost burdened, or uncost burdened or not overcrowded. So we're proposing to take care of this in the methodology rather than adding in more RENA number. But again, that's at HCD's discretion. But because cost burdenness has a particularly higher impact on low-income households, that's why we're proposing meeting that through only three income categories for existing need rather than four. So the next step is determining a jurisdiction's projected housing needs. So this is actually similar to the mechanism used for the FIP cycle. So that's a jurisdiction share a regional projected household growth, and that's based on local input. Next is future vacancy need for owners and renters. There's a minimum of 5% future vacancy need for renters. But owners, we are thinking somewhere in the ballpark of 1.5%. This will be determined at the regional level, but we'll be applying it for all jurisdictions in the same manner. So we'll have that. That's a function, that's a percentage of your projected household growth. Next, there's a replacement need. And so that's the net number of units that have been demolished that have not yet been replaced. So we base those on survey answer results. Thank you for jurisdictions who were able to submit those, determining what was demolished in your jurisdiction and what you've replaced. So we'll be looking at the share of a jurisdiction's need at the regional level. So we combine those together and you get the projected housing need. So the next step is dividing it into income categories. So it was suggested that we be more aggressive. That's some of the comments we received than prior cycles. So we're proposing a 150% social equity adjustment. So it is higher than what we're proposing for existing need. It's higher from the last cycle. But we think 150% will help with meeting that fourth goal of RENA law of ensuring there's not an over-concentration of income categories. As a point of reference, ABAG for the last cycle did 175%. So we feel that this is at least somewhere in the middle, but again, this is all a policy discussion or consideration rather than something based on technical ideas. So you get four income categories based on projected housing need. So then the last step is to add together existing need by income category with projected needs. So that's how you would get the total RENA allocation. You parcel into income categories and then you add them together to get your total RENA allocation. Yeah.
Your slides aren't working, Mayan.
What does it look like on your end?
It's still the first. It's still the first slide. It hasn't moved.
Oh my god!
I know. You can just send us the slides.
Yeah.
I will. Hopefully, okay. You've taken notes. So if you go back and look at the slides, it'll
make sense.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers being talked about. It's kind of hard to keep caught up without the slides, but we'll do what we can.
Okay, yeah, and there aren't any numbers on these slides. It's just basically flow charts and Skittle-colored shapes.
Okay.
Skittles?
What is the name of
it? It's part of the social equity. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so well, the next steps, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is in no way final, so we're hoping to release this for public review. So we'll have a public comment period that includes public hearings in August and September. We haven't figured out or finalized the dates yet of when the public hearings are. And we're also looking at other types of public engagement, so it's not all resource-intensive public hearings, maybe like a workshop or something like drop-in office hours, just to collect input, public comment, and an opportunity to ask questions. So July 1st will be our proposal, which includes not just the distribution methodology, so the flow chart of how we would distribute to draft allocation, but just also local planning factors, data sets about existing conditions. So that way you can kind of look at how different factors are affecting your jurisdiction. So that'll be the public comment period. And then we do have to submit this to HCD for their review, and they have about 60 days. We'll be submitting it probably in October. So, yeah, I will send this to Cheryl, these slides, and of course you can always contact me if you have questions.
She's done.
And do we have any questions?
No.
Did I understand the process that prior, well, we...
Will the Skittles be refined a little bit more before we get a chance to give public input in August, September?
Yeah, so we're looking at internally, because we received a comment during the last RENA subcommittee meeting, that 70-30 split, the 30% being based on HTTA population, there was a suggestion to actually have that apply to projected housing need, not just existing. So we received some comments about that, and also about maybe looking at job centers, which has its own limitations. So we're still reviewing internally how, if we are going to include those. So it might change slightly, or we might even present a different option, like an option one, option two. We're still discussing internally how we want to present this, but at least we will be presenting at least, well, if you didn't see it, but at least the one I just presented on that mechanism. So you'll be seeing that, and then we'll be receiving even more input. I think August 1st, it should go before CHD and RC, and then we'll call that the official kickoff of the public comment period.
Okay, I guess the intent from the more simplistic side of me, which is all I'm capable of, is I'm gonna be asked by my city manager, based on the fact that this process creates a fair level of anxiety for us on the city side. Before the comment period, will we have some ability to make a generalization as to where our numbers are gonna shake out? Because that'll drive the kind of comments we wanna make.
Of course.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
So we don't want to publish the numbers too early because we may not have the determination by HCD. So it could be closer to what we submit to them. It could be a lot higher than that. So, you know, we don't want to give any preliminary numbers that will end up being a lot higher just based on that.
Okay.
But we will publish data that you, given different scenarios, so given a large number or a lower number, you can plug in generally what you could get. But we don't want to call them official numbers for various reasons.
Okay.
For meeting these obligations, I think there was some discussion about meeting this not only over more than one RENA cycle. Is that still the case?
Yes. So that the concept known as phasing, we are proposing to HCD in our packet that existing housing need, because it's taken decades to it's a cumulative problem, that we actually phase existing need, meeting existing need in housing elements over the course of at least two cycles. We put that in our packet proposal to HCD, but based on some informal discussions, they're not enthusiastic about the idea. So it is something we'll still bring up and discuss, but it's not guaranteed that that will be applied.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you guys. If you wouldn't mind emailing that spreadsheet, or I'm sorry, the presentation, so we could go back and take a look, that'd be appreciated.
Definitely, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one, you guys.
Great. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, hang up.
Okay. We're all thoroughly enthused.
Well, is there anything that you want to bring up to our homeless committee or executive committee that they should be aware of regarding RENA?
Yeah, it's still too early. It's still too early to tell, and that's where most of us, at least in past RENA cycles, I've been personally frustrated back when I was doing housing elements, is you don't get data until, like, it's literally way too late to create a meaningful response. And I hate getting dumped on. And then our council members, this last RENA cycle was great because, I mean, for us, our number was low and it was manageable and it was achievable. But in the 2007 cycle, things got dropped on us so fast we just barely had a chance to react, so.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm looking for, is when do we see a number? And not the day before the comment period's over.
Right.
Yeah.
So. All right, so moving on to item C, we have Lifterize here. What's happening?
Thank you for having us. We're gonna help you with your RENA number.
Could you just go ahead and handle that for us?
I felt that anxiety that you felt, so that's the good news.
Thank you.
We're passing out our slides. So I have a lot of slides in here that we included for your reference, but I'll just go quickly through. I think I have about 10 minutes or so.
10, 15.
15. So I'm going to spend about 10 minutes updating you about what Live to Rise is and what we're doing in our housing work. And then we're also, we have a data portal that we've built with USC as our data partner that's available to cities. And so we're going to go over how we can help you with data and information about your cities that can help you in all types of planning. So my name is Christy Holstead. I'm the Director of Collective Impact for Live to Rise. These are my colleagues, the RSLE Paula Fox, who has a Master's in Public Policy from USC and just joined us, and Jocelyn Vargas, who's our Director of Community Engagement. So really briefly, so we are organizing around economic hardship and inequity in the Coachella Valley. So many of you know that nearly 1 in 2 Valley residents earn below 200% of the federal poverty level. And so how we started is we did with USC a community needs assessment looking at sort of the impact of housing and other factors on residents' lives. And we also did resident listening sessions and qualitative research about what residents are saying about their lives in the Coachella Valley. Much of what came up is around housing and housing stability and economic stability. So our mission is we believe in a future where all Coachella Valley families are healthy, stable, and thriving. We work to test, scale, and increase the saturation of stabilizing supports for right now, as well as advancing systems change work. So we're a collective impact model, which means that we convene working groups to work around these issues. It's not us doing the work, it's working groups of stakeholders in the community, and many cities have participated in our working groups. Thank you to those of us around the table who've participated. So I have a slide there about how we advance change. So I told you that we have USC as a data partner. We are engaging residents and qualitative data, and we're evidence-based. So then we can go and solve the problems that we have for our region. So we have collaborative action networks, which we call CAMs, or working groups. We're organizing in the areas of housing stability, health, and economic stability. So our outcome for our housing work, which I'm talking to you about today, is reducing rent burden in the Coachella Valley by 30% in 10 years. So this is what a CAN is. So you all know, because we're required to do it for the state, we're not building enough affordable housing in the Coachella Valley in our region. So you know we have about 445,000 residents, 60,000 renter households. We're only on average building about 136 new affordable units on average per year from 2010 to 2018. And then obviously after redevelopment agencies closed, we're averaging about 38 units per year. And again, this is one of the major issues that residents came to us to talk about how it impacts their lives, because they're spending so much money on rent, they don't have money for other things. So this is our results statement. So 55% of Coachella Valley households are rent burdened or paying more than 30% of their income on rent. A huge portion of that are also severely rent burdened, so paying more than 60% of their income on rent. So we have a plan. So to reduce rent burden by 30% fewer families rent burdened in our region, we would need to build 9,881 units, which sounds crazy because of the way that we've been doing things isn't working. So we feel that we have to radically change the game about how we're thinking about housing development and affordable housing in our region. So that would be 40,000 people impacted by those numbers. So our work group has identified 3 ways to get there. So developing a regional pipeline of projects, building a local fund to catalyze investment and pay for the units. We know that cities and agencies don't have a lot of money right now to do that since the state took it away. So building a local fund to pay for the units, and then changing local policies so that it's easier to develop affordable housing. So the regional pipeline of projects, and I should note that we are in a national cohort of locations that were chosen by, it's called Connect Capital, and it's for the Center of Community Investment, and that's from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And so we were selected out of the entire country as one of six sites to do this work. And so that we have technical assistance through that funding stream for a pilot project for 2 years, or 1 year into that, to build a pipeline of deals. What they found, this is from a Capital Absorption Framework article, which finds that affordable housing deals are deal by deal. So it's really complicated to just get one affordable housing project off the ground. You have to layer all kinds of capital and investment, and there's just really, you have to move the mountain each time you do an affordable housing project. And what they found after the financial crisis in places like Detroit, where big philanthropy came in and wanted to invest $10 million, $50 million, $100 million, there was nowhere to invest that type of money, because when it's deal by deal, maybe you need a million here, a million here, there's no way for philanthropy and big funders to come in and spend $100 million. If we build a pipeline, a regional pipeline of deals, then we could have $100 million of investment that we need for our region, shown based on community listening, based on resident priorities, based on the work group's priorities, and then we could actually catalyze and find that funding and pay for units. So that's why a pipeline of deals is important. So I included slides from the Center for Community Investment, who've done this in dozens and dozens of regions throughout the country. So right now, we have, RSLE made an amazing map here of the current pipeline. So right now, and this is just the housing units that we know about that are affordable housing in all of the cities. And I should mention the county EDA is our partner in this work. So right now there's 3,655 units in existence that we know about that are coming forward in, you know, in our Coachella Valley, and you can kind of see the distribution there based on city. So what RSLE is doing is mapping a housing opportunity analysis. So the work group said, let's go out and see where are these projects happening, what can we do to support them, how do we, you know, make sure these projects go forward, since we know that often they're killed. We have multiple projects where it's attempted to be built and nothing happens there. And so we're mapping out the housing element inventory of zoned housing parcels, publicly available land, since the school districts and COD and other people own land that might be available for housing, and sort of mapping out vacant land within the cities. And we're putting that online for you to use. So I think some of you have given us data and information to include that. And we're not doing it to call out the cities by any means, but really to say, what are we going to do as a region, and where are we going to build affordable housing? Because if we don't have a regional plan, it's not equitable. It's going to, we don't want 4,000 units in Desert Hot Springs, right? We want them throughout the region and to share the burden and the opportunity of building all of these units that we need. So this is an example of the housing opportunity analysis as it looks online, and we have it city by city. And so here's the website, which RSLE will show you at the end. So the housing work group came up with shared priorities for the pipeline, like regional equity, impacting rent burden, proximity to employment and jobs. You know, some of the things that we need to think about and some of the things that we really should when we're looking at RENA numbers. And the work group actually batched out through those pipeline of projects we know which ones are the most actionable or the most important based on those regional priorities, right? Regional equity, things like that. So we have a pipeline subcommittee through our working group that's working on how to get these projects done and built. Next is the financial intervention, so building a local fund. So again, I talked to you about capital absorption so that we can't continue to do deal by deal. If we want the big money that's coming for affordable housing from the state, from private philanthropy, from places like the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which are contributing big to housing right now, we have to think at a larger regional scale. So we held an investment summit in Fresno in May. We connected with their housing authority there. I don't know if you know Preston Prince, who runs their housing authority, and they told us about their plan. And they've actually built out a pipeline of 2,000 units, and they're going around asking for $50 million to pay for those units for their region from philanthropy. So we went to learn from them and share our information about our regions. Also kind of building the power of inland California, as so many of the state rules are coming down and they prioritize urban areas, they prioritize transit in a way that we might not have. So we're trying to make it really driven for inland California as well and build our political power. So here's a beautiful slide that I didn't make. because it's so pretty, but this is the units in our two batches. So we have 1,300 total units in those first batches that the group picked based on our priorities. So that we could ask for $92 million in total investment, which is needed to catalyze those units. On average, it's only about a $70,000 a unit subsidy, which is kind of affordable if you're talking about big philanthropy that might be spending double or triple that in urban areas where housing's more expensive. So then the third area of work that our work group's doing is in policy priorities. So this is the enabling environment. What are our current policies that are barriers to the development of affordable housing that aren't allowing us to meet our RENA numbers? So other jurisdictions have done like a policy manual. And one thing I should say in backing up and what our work group has identified is there isn't one overarching entity that's doing housing work here, right? We have CVAG, but you're not always convening people on housing. We're doing homelessness, which we're treating as separate for now. And so we're trying to build a table where we can have these regional conversations about housing policy. For all of our cities. So the group has asked for it to be more streamlined, more consistent rules and regulations between jurisdictions. It's often hard for developers to figure out, you know, what's the impact fee in Palm Desert versus Palm Springs versus Coachella. So one idea is sort of having consistent policies across jurisdictions, or at least sort of sample policies that jurisdictions can tweak based on their residents and their unique needs. So the housing work group has come up with policy topic suggestions. So we worked with SCAMF to bring forward these policy topics. And SCAMF participates in our group, as well as most of the affordable housing developers in our region. So they're the ones, I should have said that, who are participating, who are coming up with these policy recommendations. So some are general, like building political will. They always talk about increasing coordination and policy alignment, how to help cities, because often I know your city councils will say, we want a policy on this. Another city might have it, but there's no like ordinance bank or place for you to go. That's my understanding. I think you're doing some of that work here, but kind of just increasing that coordination. Researching best practices, providing those to cities so that they can use those and we don't have to waste your time, staff time of doing a lot of legwork, right? Because we're doing that in 9 cities, so we're kind of working there. So if we can actually come together as a work group here and help you facilitate that, we want to be helpful. Those are sort of some of the other policies. So other policy ideas that the CAN or the work group have raised, streamline local entitlement processes, expedited processing for projects that are that include affordable housing or 100% affordable housing, more by right or administrative approval, mixed use ordinances, uniform design standards, ADUs, lot coverage requirements, like small lot ordinances, policies like that. So we came to you because you're where the work happens. You're the experts. We are not experts. I'm not a housing, affordable housing developer. I'm not a city planner. So we want to come together with you and really ask your group, what are the ways that we can help you meet your RENA numbers, that we can help you make it easier to build affordable housing where you want it in your city and where we want it as a region. How can we share work better? So we have staff, we have data, we can assist you in many ways in getting there, and we want to make sure that we're working in coordination. So that's why we've asked all of the cities to participate in our work group. So you can participate yourself. We have many, director, department heads who are participating in our work groups because you have such expertise in these areas, and we need you to come and say, we can't lower impact fees because right now, we have a lot of developers in the group. We're working on getting more residents in the group. We have community organizations, and we have some cities who participated. But we need a balanced voice there so that when we start to push legislative change, it's aligned with your policy, goals for your city, and it actually helps on the ground, right? No one wants to waste our time pushing policy or building a local fund and drawing down investment if it's not going to actually help you do your jobs better. That's my presentation. We can email you the slides as well. I'm happy to take any questions right now about what I just presented. And then I'll have RSLE go through our data portal just in a few minutes to show you what data we do have available to you for free to use. And it's also free for any community organizations as well who are applying for grants. And then if there is data that you need, like if we're talking about RENA advocacy for our region, if there's work, like advocacy work that we can do with our work group, if there's data that we can collect so you don't get numbers dumped at you at the very last minute, we're already looking at rent burden and we're analyzing it. So if there is data that you specifically need, we can get you that as well. So my main ask, and we have agendas here for you, the main ask is that we have our housing stability work group meetings every month. So it's the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30, just downstairs. Our office is downstairs, so it's in the conference room here. We have it every single month. So if you could attend, if you could have staff attend to discuss these issues and how they impact cities, that would be incredibly useful. We also had the Federal Reserve Bank offer to host a dinner or a lunch or some sort of more informal meeting than this with you all to really get your feedback and hear from you how we can help you meet your RENA numbers or your goals for housing in your city. I think that might be useful so then we can talk about some of the issues so they don't come before you've had a lot of input. I think that would be very helpful. So if there's interest in that, I can work with Cheryl to schedule that, and we'll give you good food and pay you in food and be grateful for your expertise. Do you have any questions for me?
Questions?
Okay, I'll have RSLE show you the data portal, which is accessible, and the community profiles.
Okay, thank you. I'll only take a moment. I'm going to pass these around so that you have a way to get to the data portal and you can access it. I just want to take a moment to show you the features of the portal because, again, this is free, accessible to anyone, and it's meant to be used. From working on the back end at USC, putting a type of portal like this together, I know that we at Lyft and our partners at USC have the capacity to clean data, put data, and visualize it on the portal. So first off, I just want to show you the data that we do have. We organize the data in these policy areas. And I'll just for fun, let's click on housing. And then we organize it by data sets and variables. So within a policy area, we have these data sets, and then we have a number of variables. So just since we've been talking about cost burden or rent burden, in each of these, you'll find our source of the data, the years that we have it, and then it just gives you a little background as to why it matters to study this variable. You are able to download the data set. It's already been cleaned and it's ready for you to use. So that's one feature, and you'll find that, you'll find out with under the data tab. Oh, we also have LA, but we don't care about LA right now.
They've only created this for LA and then for the Coachella Valley, so it's a huge asset.
So that was our data feature. The really cool part, well, personally what I think is cool, is the way that we can visualize data on the map, because it helps us build a regional understanding of what's really going on. Sometimes it's a little slow. But the data sets that I showed, or the policy areas that I showed you, you'll see here on your left. And if you were to select any of these, you can see that we also have the data sets, and then it'll break it down by variables. So if we were to look at what rent burden looks like in the Coachella Valley, we can see how it's distributed in the area. So you can just hover over the map and get a more concentrated idea. The only thing that I want to point out is that this is all census tract level data. You are able to see kind of the outlines of the cities. Because the census tracts in the cities don't align perfectly, we're not able to show the data at the city level on the map. I will show you the community profiles that have city level data. But again, you are able to kind of overlay the outline of the cities here, and then you're able to kind of select the census tracts and find out what it looks like for your city. So that is the map. We have community level, we call them community profiles, but really what it is city level data. And we call them community profiles because we also make community profiles for the unincorporated Coachella Valley. And so you'll see Mecca here. But where these come out on a monthly basis, and these could always be updated if you see your city on here and you would like to see another policy area or a different data set, then we're able to do that. I'll just show you what one looks like. I think this might have been our first one. And so you'll have all the policy areas at a city level. And again, if you have new data, more information that you would like to contribute, that you would like to see on here, then please let us know. The other thing I also have an ask is the housing opportunity analysis. We want this to be as accurate and as useful for you, but we can't publish it if we don't feel that it's accurate. So we've had three cities kind of verify their information already. So I might have already contacted you, but maybe you're not the right person to speak to. Maybe you can refer me to somebody else. But the point is that we want to show, and let me show you what it looks like. This is meant to be an interactive tool so that someone can go on the city and see what vacant land is available, who is it owned by, what is it zoned like, what are the acres like, and so you can kind of hover over in the same way that it is on the map portal. You can hover over and you can see the specifics about that parcel. So this data is parcel level data. So if you have other parcel level data that you would like to see on the housing opportunity analysis, again, we have the capacity to do that. We can clean it. We just ask that you share that information so that we're able to visualize it and make it as a resource and an additional tool for you to do your work. The only other thing I'll say is that, you know, I only had a few moments to go over all this portal, but the features are really great, and it's free, it's accessible. So if you'd like for us to come in and do a training at your city with your staff, or maybe it's just with your community members and you wanted to host it there, please do reach out. You have our contact information at the end of the slides there, and we're happy to come and do a community training for your city or your staff. And again, if there is any data that you don't see on the portal that you think would be useful as you get ready to do the general plan updates, or just in your everyday work, then please let us know and we can reach out to our folks at USC and see what we can do.
Thank you. And so we want this to be useful for you. We want it to be the photos and the data that you need for your city. We can do media. We have a relationship with a few media organizations to send these community profiles out. We've been kind of hush-hush about them because we haven't gotten a lot of the city buy-in, and we don't know if this is what you sort of want out there, if this is accurate with you, for you. But like RSLE said, if there are things that you need, like if we should be mapping the transit, the high-quality transit in our region on our opportunity analysis so we can see as a community where those are as a region, we are happy to do all of that work for you. So please let us know how this can be more useful for you, and we're happy to do that. And this is all driven by the work group of what they've said they want to see for our region.
Yeah, and one last thing, sorry, I forgot to show you the feature of our data stories. So this is just to kind of put a narrative behind the data that we see. If you'd like to partner up with Lyft, we can write a data story on an issue that's relative to your city. We have our media partners at KCUT, and they publish the stories. So these are only two, we've only done three so far. So if you had a story that you wanted to tell, again, please reach out, and we can do that through our Neighborhood Data for Social Change.
We'll send these links to you as we send our presentation.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody have any last minute questions?
Thank you for having us on the agenda and the opportunity to present to you.
Thank you.
All right. Where are we at? As information item number 7, we have a committee attendance roster that's been provided to us. No action required there, correct? And we're down to announcements. There's some upcoming announcements listed on the agenda. If there are no questions, we're on to item 9, adjournment.
All right. Here. Just adjourn.
We're adjourned.